Oh, I am a sinful man. Lord, depart from me. Those are the words of Peter. And how would Jesus deal with that? Jesus would say, come follow me and be a fisher of men. So this is the Grace Hour, a podcast that comes to you live from Baltimore today. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me today, Pastor Sturge Gorham. And we'll be talking about a certain subject. Can God deal with our sinful tendencies? And what does that mean? How do, you know, I think just an introduction here, you know, Jesus made it clear, be wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. So I just want to tell you, if you're among those people that seem to think that salvation in Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit has sort of erased the nature, the natural tendency to cleave to the dust and sin, you know, you need to wake up and see that there's a snake. You know, you need to be wise about the serpent that can bite you or that can come out of you and bite other people. Mm-hmm. And how can you be harmless? Only by the dove, who is the Holy Spirit, symbolizing the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about like wrestling with sinful tendencies. And is there hope for us? Pastor Sturge, give us a word. Is there a hope for us to like break the cycle of destruction? Oh, go ahead.
Gosh, there is. There is. And we are no strangers. None of us, listen, are no strangers to sinful tendencies.
Yeah.
But I'd just like to break down that word sinful. What's that mean?
Yeah.
It means
really.
Full of self.
Yeah, full of self. That's
I'm
a good
full
word.
Of
yeah,
self. It's when I'm full of self, then how can I handle those tendencies? I can't. And, and the more I focus, and I think this is where the problem really comes. The more I focus on those tendencies, and you can fill in the blank, whatever your sinful tendencies are. We all have them.
Mm-hmm.
Fill it in. But the more I focus on those tendencies, guess what? The stronger they get.
That's true.
The stronger they get. It's like 1 Corinthians 15:56. The strength of sin is in the law.
Yeah, that's true. There is sort of like a, you know, the law sword. And if you live a life of law keeping in your own strength, it does turn most people into, you know, we were talking about it before, of people of contempt. We look down on anyone who can't do what we can do. And like, it's, you know, I think like the good question is like, we know that there is this sort of false doctrine out there that when we got saved, we our sin nature was eradicated. You know, and they twist like the, you know, they twist some passages out of John's writing about he, you know, not being, we don't sin anymore. It's like, this is, you know, and then John writes like sort of contradicts himself by saying, he who says he has no sin is a liar. So we know that we have sinful tendencies. The question is, how do we live with those tendencies? And does God have an answer for that? And, you know, I think that's what we're here to talk about today is like, what are some of the answers from the words of Christ, from the Bible, that would help us wrestle and really have victory over some tendencies, right? Some tendencies. We all have them. Like, you know,
oh my gosh,
traffic brings out the worst in me. It doesn't matter. You know, a guy does something and I'm like immediately reacting. I'll know that I'm really mature in Christ when I finally stop reacting to something happening on the roadways. I just really feel that that's like, you know, I just notice it and I have to ask forgiveness. Oh God, what did I just call down on that person who did something they didn't even know what they were doing? And I'm like asking them to be blasted or something like that in my mind, you know.
It's so true. It's so true. Well, maybe it's because we're alone in the car. There's nobody else with me, so it's like, okay, the flesh just...
My wife's not there to correct me because she says, why are you agitated? You know, she's not there, you know.
And speaking of wives, I mean, come on. I think a lot of times that's where that tendency is exhibited, right? It's toward our wives.
Oh, that's right, because we're familiar.
We're familiar.
Yeah.
We're familiar. The people that are closest with us, we just... Mm-hmm. We just tend to be that way. But I'm thinking that this is a really good subject because there's a lot of people, a lot of young people, too, that struggle with sinful tendencies. And maybe they're new Christians and they're just started reading their Bible. And they like you were saying, they read verses like in 1 John and they take it out of context and they're beating themselves up because they're still struggling with areas of their life.
Yeah.
And like I just remember being in Bible college and certain areas were like just, my God, you know, am I even saved? Like you just sometimes you say, Lord, what's wrong with me? And I think that's what the serpent wants to do. He wants us to get us going inward. Do you remember that message from Pastor Stevens years ago called My Cross?
My Cross.
My Cross. And I probably listened to that message about 50 times when I was in Bible college because I needed it so much. And I just remember a few of the things that he said. One was they're in the wilderness. They're murmuring against God.
Yeah, that's right. Murmuring against God.
And Moses and the man of God. And the situation, we hate this loathsome bread that you give us, right?
This light bread,
This light bread. Yeah. This is like, and they finally get to that point where they're just those sinful tendencies are full blown iniquity.
Yeah,
full blown. And God, what does God do? He says, "Okay, I'm going to just send a few reminders," and he sends the fiery serpents. They get bit, and what's the first thing you do when you're bit by a snake? You look at the snake bite.
You grab that
ankle and you're in fear, you're in trepidation, and you're looking for something to apply to that. And Moses tells him the opposite. He says, stop doing that. Stop being occupied with this poison and look at that brazen serpent up there that I made. And if you just gaze, it's not a glance.
No, it's a gaze.
He said, if you gaze at that serpent, that brazen serpent, you will be healed. And in John, was it John 3, where Jesus said, and for 14 and 15, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of God be lifted up. And I'll never forget that message because he said, stop looking within. Stop looking within.
That's right.
Look without. Look unto Jesus. Look at him on that cross who was made sin for us. Okay, so I got its sinful tendency. So how do I deal with it? Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's insecurity. How do I deal with it? Well, it's not by looking at the tendency.
Yeah.
It's not by looking at that. It's by looking away. And there's so many verses. I mean, Romans chapter 6 is kind of what that message was based on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified positionally. Yeah,
that's
it. We still have the tendencies, but in the mind of God, our old man is crucified.
Yeah. God handle our sinful tendencies?
Yeah.
The answer is that, yes, he's handled those sinful tendencies.
He's
removed our iniquities as far as the east is from the west. Go through the Psalms. The Psalms are such a treasure for us because they do handle all those emotions. And you just feel so out of sorts. Mm-hmm. And you say things like, you know, you can pray things that using the Psalms, you can pray things that you really think and really feel. Make your complaint known to God, known unto God, lay your trouble before him. This is like really, this is really like, you know, I would say the answer is that isn't like, can God handle your sinful tendencies? Is the thing is did God do something about the consequences of our sinful tendencies? And that's the whole idea of the positional truth. So we're talking about positional truth, which is a reality that we are saved and that we can never be plucked out of his hand, that once we are born again, we don't have to get born again. Mm-hmm. And that's a reality. But the sanctification process, the idea of going from faith to faith and growing in maturity, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. And you know, it's very easy for us to feel hamstrung, you know. And if you know anything, if you watch anything about sport, you hear about a hamstring injury, you know that when you get hamstrung, there's a lot of pain there. And you can get hamstrung and immobilized by, like you said, thinking about the bites. You know that you have the nature of the serpent in you because Adam gave it to you. Thank you, Adam. Sorry, you know, you took and ate from the tree, you know. And so we all have this tendency to be like a snake, to be cleaving to the dust and to bite, you know, to bite and devour one another. And you're right. Like, you gaze on that. It's not like a quick glance. It is something that we should learn to practice. Mm. Like, look at the cross and see that that's where our sin was paid for. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love after 1 Corinthians 15:56, where it says the strength of sin is in the law. The very next verse gives the answer. Mm. But thanks be to God. It doesn't say thanks be to me because I fought off my tendencies. Thanks be to me because I'm fighting it off real good, and I haven't cursed in a week, or I haven't lusted in 2 weeks. That it doesn't say thanks be to me. It says thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, he's the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer to the, it's him.
Yeah.
It's him. It's the exchange life, isn't it?
It is. It's the exchange life.
It's the exchange life. That's what it is.
And I think the thing is, we heard, great message Sunday night from Hebrews 5. Pastor Mark Minicello was talking about that. And this is where we get some of those ideas about, him understanding our temptation. Mm. Now, Jesus did not have a sin nature because, he was of heavenly blood. All right. That's a big mystery. It's like, I love the way Pastor Mark said it. He said, he was talking more about Melchizedek. Like, right. Where did Melchizedek, who was Melchizedek? Right. He had no end, no lineage. He had no beginning of days, no end of days. Yet he was a man on the earth. He was the king of Salem, a prince of peace. And was it Jesus? Was Melchizedek really Jesus? But then Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek. It's like, we know there are things in the Bible that we can just not explain, but we know that when we were talking in this part, it says he must take on a sin offering for himself as well as for the people, and he is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he is also subject to weakness. This is the talking about the natural high priest, the priesthood of Aaron. Mm. But then Jesus, it says in the next passage there, it says Jesus, he was called by God just as Aaron was to be a high priest, but a different order. But even though he was a different order, it says that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, and the temptations that are common to us were something that Jesus understood. And I know that we can look at God in his eternity outside of time, but we also celebrate at this time the reality of the incarnation, which is God the Son entering time and entering this world atmosphere and everything that attends to it. So, can God handle our sinful tendencies? It's like God understands the push and the pull of temptation as a real human being, right?
Yes. Yes. Jesus, he was tempted to be, I bet he was tempted to be exhausted by the disciples. Just frustrated by them. And in every way, when he was tired like we were, he was hungry like we were, Maybe he was tempted to be hangry. Like I get.
Yeah,
angry,
that's right. I'm not eating.
Right?
Yeah,
I haven't eaten for a half a day or for a day. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get hangry.
Well, I do. I mean, my kids know. My kids know. My family knows that if I feel a little agitated, do you need to eat something?
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, I think you're right. I think I do need to eat something like right now, you know?
But that's true. It really is. And like you said, Pastor T, I think we tend to, like, we think, well, so I'm being tempted with, let's say I have a sinful tendency of lust as a man. And I'm thinking, well, Jesus, you don't know what that's all about. Well,
yeah.
He doesn't?
Yeah. He does.
He does.
Yeah. That's what Hebrews teaches us. Yeah. If he's learning obedience by the things that he suffered.
I mean, if he was tempted in every point in Hebrews 4, as we are, yet without sin.
Yet without sin.
Temptation is not sin.
Yeah.
Without sin. And what a release for a young man to hear that and say, okay, Lord, you were tempted in every area like M. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And you can deliver me from that. You can completely release me. And one of the most incredible finished work verses. Do you mind if I share this, Pastor Steve?
No, go ahead.
It's in the Amplified.
Yep.
Which I love. It's Isaiah 26, verses 12 and 13 and 14. Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you have also wrought in us and for us all our works. O Lord, our God, other masters beside you have ruled over us, but we will acknowledge and mention your name only. They, the former tyrant masters, are dead. They shall not live and reappear. They are powerless ghosts. They shall not rise and come back. Therefore, you have visited and made an end of them and caused every memory of them, every trace of their supremacy to perish. Wow.
Isaiah 14, is that?
Isaiah 26, 13 and 14.
Isaiah 26.
Yeah.
And so that tyrant thing is pretty powerful.
Tyrant,
yeah.
A former tyrant master. And it's kind of like a kid with a boogeyman. It's like you're afraid of that boogeyman coming. And I think the fear of sinning is just as bad sometimes and just as powerful as the sin. You know, and that master is just, you know, is wanting to just, you know, that fear. Like, but when we read this, he's taking care of the master.
That's true.
He's taking care of that master.
Yeah.
You know, the old man, right?
The old man.
And
he's
Romans
delivered
6,
us.
6,
yeah.
The old man. He was the tyrant master.
That's right.
You know, and every memory, I just love that. Every trace of their supremacy to perish. So I think four things that God does to handle our sinful tendencies. Number one's the cross. We talked about the cross.
Yeah.
Number two is the word.
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:12.
Cross and the word.
John 17:17.
Mm-hmm.
Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Mm-hmm. The word.
The word.
My gosh, how much am I in this?
Yeah.
Versus how much am I in this?
Yeah.
You know, like if I was in this a lot more than this, I think that would help a lot with the sinful tendencies. Number three, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. And then the last thing, 1 Peter 5:10, suffering.
Suffer.
Suffering.
Yeah.
He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from practicing sin in 1 Peter. He that has suffered. And we have so many examples of God practically speaking how God handled the sinful tendencies of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
How did he handle his self-assertiveness by 40 years in the backside of a desert? That's how he handled himself.
And then meeting him
there,
with
right?
With his presence, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How about Jacob's deceptive manipulation, those traits? How did he handle it? 20 years of serving under Laban, who was worse than him.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was worse than him. And how
the
about
the cheater
Paul?
Got cheated,
the
right?
The cheater got cheated. And then Paul's tendency for pride with a thorn in the flesh from Satan to keep him
Wow.
Home.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I like that tyrant, that idea of putting off the terrible tyrant. And I'm thinking, when we think of Matthew 11, and we know that Jesus says, come unto me, you who are weak and heavy laden. So there we understand you sense your weakness, you feel weighed down by who you are. And Jesus said, you know, take my yoke upon you. Mm. Now, this is kind of interesting. When you think about a yoke, and we don't see this picture unless you maybe live in Amish areas, you don't see a yoke of oxen plowing a field so much. But you notice that oxen don't have hands to grip, like something to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. That's, you know, the kind of thing, like trying to hang on for dear life. Like, and this is like the, again, you said, like, if we turn internally and trying to have an expectation of ourselves, Jesus is like saying, okay, you're weak and heavy laden. The answer isn't to try and make yourself, you know, more muscular in the faith. It is to take my yoke upon you, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I don't think we meditate on those words enough. And when we're in those, when we feel the weight and the weakness, when we feel the weight of our weakness and we feel unacceptable unto God, unworthy and unclean, just as, you know, Isaiah did in 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his immediate reaction was, woe is me. I am an unclean man with unclean lips, and all the people around me are unclean with unclean lips. And God said, it was touched him with a fire from heaven. And I'm thinking, like, all of these things are there for our edification, for us to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. It's like, it's not hanging on for dear life or trying to create a formula, you know. And we live in an age of, like, you know, where God has been put, you know, we've lost the theosputic, which is God therapy, you know, God, you know, and we've entered into this therapeutic. It's like we do it ourselves. We're going to find the answer in ourselves. And there's lots of people. There's lots of people making lots of money, getting people to talk about what's wrong with themselves and who did them dirty. And it's like, and we've all been done. We've done dirty and we've been done dirty. Yeah. And there's levels. Like, yeah, some of it is like maybe just a smudge, and other people we have flat out slimed, or we've been slimed by other people. And it's like, you know, and that's, we talk about that and we overthink it. And then Jesus is saying, yeah, you're weak and you're heavy laden. And there's only one answer, right?
Yeah. Come unto me.
Yeah.
And I love that. When there's two places where you really get to know the person that you're with.
Mm-hmm.
One is in a marriage.
Yeah.
Your husband and wife, you really get to know each other. You get to trust each other. That you there's a strength in being together, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is when you work side by side with somebody.
Yeah.
Like a father and a son working together.
Yeah.
I doubt that when a father and son are working together side by side, they're having a great time, that son is thinking about going out and sinning and partying and getting drunk. I think he's just so happy to be yoked up with his dad.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it means. I'm yoked up with Jesus. Who am I next to?
That's right.
I'm next to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Why would I want anything else? Why would I be tempted to do anything? I'm yoked up with him. You know what I mean? I'm yoked up for a great cause. And that's why we have such joy in serving God, because we're yoked up with him.
That's true.
I'm not doing something for him.
Yeah.
But I'm yoked up right next to him.
Yeah, what is that? What is it? Is it physics? The law of physics or something? That force multiplication? which is like there's one of us, we're trying to pull our own weight. But if you have, if you're yoked up with Christ and you're pulling together, there's like a force multiplication. It's not just like, you know, two people walking together, pulling together. You know, you yoke up with Christ, Christ is with you, and there's a force multiplication that happens. And so there's a, it's not just two, it's like there's a, it multiplies to another level that I can remember. Someone could correct me out there about this, but the force multiplication or the power multiplication, because you're yoked up with, if I was yoked up with you, you and me could do the work of, not just the two of us, but because we're both giving, it's like there's a force multiplication. And then when we have Christ and we're yoked up, he's inviting us to be yoked up with him. And there's no, the thing that I love about that is like there's no qualifications. He said, he's just saying, you just come, you just come and yoke up with me. I'll put the, if you're going to, the neck is the will. And if you're going to be willing to be yoked up with me, if you're going to give your neck to my cause, then you know, you're going to go forward. It's that verse, wherever that verse is like he puts in us the to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's like we keep thinking that we have to generate the energy and the right motivation to do of God's good pleasure. And Jesus said, you know, I just said to Peter, follow me. He said he was a sinful man. I said, just follow me. And you know, Isaiah said, I'm unclean. And I just touched him with the fire of heaven and it was enough. And I think everything like that. And I think like today, who's a person? You know, like, you know, there's a lot that's said about Mary that's not biblical. But what we can say about Mary is that she was a virgin. She was a young girl. She was presented with an impossibility. And she said, be it unto me according to your word. You know, and she did not try. She didn't, you know, she had no idea that she was going to be chosen for this. She didn't live a life of perfection. She was probably likely 14 or 15, you know, so she hadn't like, so how long had she been living? It's not like she lived like, you know, Elizabeth lived a long time and was, you know, felt very, very frustrated and very much cursed because she couldn't have a baby. Then God answered the prayer finally at last. But Mary, she was just going about her business. Maybe she was praying. I'm like that. But she didn't complete a resume in order to qualify for the favor that God visited upon her. And also what went with that favor was a sword that would pierce her soul, raising a son, her firstborn, who would be rejected and cursed for her sin and all of our sin, right? It's like really kind of interesting. It's like Mary did nothing. Mary did nothing to make herself qualified to be the womb through which God would enter the world. It was like, there we go. There's a girl. Go down and ask her, Gabriel. And she said, okay, it's impossible, but I'll do it. And childlike faith. I'm thinking, what was Mary's great benefit? She was a young girl. It's like, because we know from Zacharias and Elizabeth, like Zacharias was like, yeah, right. He got a similar promise for his wife. And he says, yeah, that's really going to happen. And like, close your mouth. You're just a little bit too sarcastic about the fulfillment of God's plan for you. We're just not going to let you say anything for 9 months. And then, you know, so anyway.
Wow. Yeah.
But I'm just thinking like, you know, was Mary a sinner? Yes, she was. And she said, my soul exalts in God, my Savior. I need a Savior. And then in John chapter 2, she said to those there, just do what Jesus tells you to do. You know, that's the thing. It's
not
like
what I tell you.
Not what I tell you to do. I got nothing in this game. Yes, Jesus carries my DNA because, you know, but what was in my DNA? I was conceived in iniquity just like everyone else was conceived in iniquity. Yeah. It's like, you know, just read the Bible. If you just stick to some of the Bible thing, you understand. I just think like, you know, I mean, Mary's beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. Did I at 14 or 15 like decide to follow Jesus? No, it didn't happen until I was 19. And in between, there was a lot of rambunctiousness, mm-hmm. not outright like, you know, as a qualification, I wasn't like a gang member, super sinner kind of thing right. like that, but I was sinful.
Yeah.
I was sinful, trying to find my own way, trying to do this, trying to, you know.
Yeah.
And at 14, you know, she said, be it unto me according to your word. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
That's it. Like, think about, I just think about, God said, you have found, the angel Gabriel said, Mary, you have found grace.
Yeah.
Favor, the free loving kindness of God to you.
Yeah.
There wasn't any particular reason. Like, and I think about our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Did God choose us knowing what our sinful tendencies would be? Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
And I think a problem with believers is they get salvation and sanctification.
They mix it up.
They mix it up. And they think, if I'm saved, I shouldn't have this. I shouldn't have these problems. But as we said before, the cross,
mm-hmm.
positional truth, like that's why Bible college is so important.
And
being under a good pulpit where you're hearing good, because you're hearing who you are,
who you really are. Yeah.
Who you really are. And it's the cross and then the word. And then you begin to surrender to the Holy Spirit and let him lead you. But I think if we can realize that, just like Mary, God chose us.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to live inside of you.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ is in us. He's in you, Pastor Steve.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's in me. The Son of God is in us. That is a miracle.
Yeah.
So why sweat the others? Why sweat the small stuff?
That's right.
You know?
Like, do you have room for Jesus? I think that's a great Christmas. I always think about that, the personal Christmas that every one of us has to have. Mm. Have you any room for Jesus? Mm. Give him room. There was a song sung here the other night about that. Give him room or make room for him. There's songs like that. And we just, you know, we are all, you know, be it unto us according to his word. What is his word? Come unto me. That's the whole thing. Stephen and Christian have both made some comments about this. Draft horses say two together pull three times rather than twice the load. Wow. And when trained together, their pulling capacity can reach 32,000 pounds, demonstrating the power of teamwork. So that's the thing. Yoke up with Jesus. If your sinful tendency is bothering you, then you need to yoke up with Jesus. That's it. You need to yoke up with Jesus. Yeah. And if you do get bitten, if you do allow yourself to be a snake of some sort, then gaze at the cross.
Yes.
Great. Gaze at the cross and see that you're, you know, and if you're looking for that, look at any ambulance and you could see a brazen serpent.
That's right.
On the city ambulance. There's a brazen serpent. How much of the Bible has gotten into human society? There's a brazen serpent. What does that mean? What's the snake on a stick mean when you go to a pharmacy? Well, it actually goes back to the book of Numbers and like there was healing that was, really? It's a biblical reference? Absolutely. It's a biblical reference. Yep. You're looking for healing and ambulance might be an avenue to healing. It's might going down the avenue to healing if you're in the back of it. We don't want you to be in the back of the ambulance. God help you for there.
And that, why is there an ambulance? Because we can't heal ourselves.
That's right.
We can't heal ourselves.
Yeah, we need to be transported.
Into the arms of Jesus.
That's it.
You know? I was thinking also, that makes me think of this as far as yoking up. In Proverbs 16:6, one of my favorite verses in Proverbs, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged.
Yeah.
By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged.
Well,
where is mercy manifest? In the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I'm struggling with a sinful tendency, the worst thing I can do is to be a lone ranger.
That's
the
right.
The worst thing I can do is try to be on my own and isolate myself from of Christ.
Yeah.
Draw near to the body. That's where you're going to find mercy, and that's where you're going to find truth. And by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged from the heart.
That's right.
Isn't that beautiful?
That is. It is. Mercy and truth. And I think it's significant. Grace is favor bestowed just at the whim of God, by the will of God. It's like no one earns grace.
Yeah.
But all of us need mercy because we're, you know, mercy is the removal. We know this, like, mercy is the removal of what we deserve, and we deserve the cross. And, you know, Christ, you know, the Son came up today because of the mercy of God. He could, he could choose not to show mercy on a certain day. He chose not to show mercy on all but one family of humanity back in the days of Noah. See, that's the thing. People, they, you know, Mary was the carrier, so that the Son could enter humanity. Mm-hmm. We go back to Noah. Noah found grace, and Noah had a 100-year project in order to save his family. Mm-hmm. You know, but he found grace and was given this work to do. Mary found grace, and she was given this choice to make. Yeah. It's like, so when God chooses somebody, God spoke to Abraham and he listened. It wasn't like anything that he, you know, he didn't make himself the friend of God. He chose, he was chosen by God. And when he heard God and he responded, this is the, this is really the only thing that we can do is like come unto Jesus.
Yeah.
And that was like, you know, that was the gospel message, is this message. Mary's life demonstrates the gospel message is like we are chosen. And, the only kind of response that we can make in order to enter in to have the fullness of grace in our lives, you know, Mary said that old prayer said that she was full of grace. Well, all of us are full of grace the moment that we come unto Jesus and receive his salvation, call upon his name. Mm-hmm. That's the great thing to think about there. So, yeah. Go ahead.
The other thing too is amazing is that we don't like Abraham. You mentioned Abraham. Abraham had nothing to do with a covenant that God made with him. God put Abraham to sleep.
Yeah.
Before he made the covenant.
That's right. That's right.
And it's like why? Like if God saved us without any of our effort.
Yeah.
What makes us think he's not going to keep us? What makes us think that he's not going to deliver us from those sinful tendencies?
That's right.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
If he spared not his own son,
yeah.
but delivered him up for us all, how will he not? What a great question. How will he not freely give us all things? You know, that's the beauty of grace. And the more we learn this book, the more we learn the word of God and the grace of God and the finished work of Christ and our position in Christ. Oh, yeah. I think that's so key, right?
Yeah, it
our
is.
Our position in Christ. It's not I, like Galatians 2:20.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I have been crucified with Christ. That was the other part of the pastor's message, my cross.
Yeah.
I have been crucified. It's no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And so we make Christ the issue, not the sinful tendencies.
Yeah.
Him the issue.
I think that, there's two errors there. One is that we don't have a sin nature. One is like trying to say that, you know, that we aren't sinful. You know, we can self-justify, you know, God should bring us into heaven because we're such good people. So that's one error. And the other error is that, that once we are forgiven is that the sinful, you know, the sinful tendencies bring us into a state of unforgiveness. It's like, that's the thing. Those are the two things that sort of I'm using that word. Maybe it's a bad word, but that hold people back. They get tangled up in this whole thing. Like I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Well, none of us are good enough. And then the other error is I am good enough. God should accept me. I remember Pastor Love has made a couple of references. There's like a famous politician used to be mayor of New York. He said, if there is a heaven, no question, because of the things that I've done, I'm going to have like entry. And we're like, well, you know, that really, you know, the thief on the cross, if you read that story, here's a guy who, you know, who just committed his sinful life to Christ as he hung next to him. And Jesus said, hey, you'll be with me in paradise today. It's like, so, you know, this is the bar is not set very high, you know, to become accepted in the beloved. It's just believing on him. And like, if you've given your life to Christ and you're being, and you just have to, I think faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You're right. It's like the multitude of counselors, a body of Christ, a Bible centered pulpit, that is going to help you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's all, and again, that practicality of what we do, who we're with, like, who am I with? How about that one?
Yeah.
He that is wise walks with
With the wise. That's right.
The companion of fools will be destroyed.
That's right.
So, like, let's just, that's a practical thing. You can do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you're just hanging around people that are filled with the Spirit, that love Christ, that see you in Christ, that edify you, that show you who you are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things are big. That's huge in my sanctification, isn't it?
It is.
It's huge.
It is. It's huge. Yeah, it is huge because, you know, you need to be, like you said, you need to be a part of a congregation. You need to be a part of a multitude of counselors. It's like if you are just, if you are limiting yourself to these discussions with, you know, just one person or with yourself, it's like, I just don't, you know, there's no safety there. I'm sorry. You know, you're going to, you know, the devil's very tricky. He's going to trip you up in some way. It's like, you know, the Bible just shows us that the only one who can really handle our sin is him.
Yeah.
It's him, you know? And like, you know, when you're talking about Abraham, it's like, you know, Abraham, we see that Abraham lied twice. You know, we see about his wife, you know, but did that disqualify him from being, you know, having the righteousness of being the friend of God? No, it didn't. You know, it's very interesting. So final thoughts here in these last 2 minutes.
This gives us such hope.
Yes.
Pastor Steve, this gives us such hope for our lives. I mean, did God give up on David?
No.
After Bathsheba?
No.
Is David going to be the prince during the millennial reign?
That's right.
Come on.
Jesus is still the son of David.
He's still the son of David.
Yeah.
He's still, and it's like, to me, that is the finished work. That is the glorious gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about Christ. Again, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15:57, it's thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer.
Yeah.
It's Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's not Steve Angelonis or Sturge Gorm trying to get our act cleaned up. It's just him.
Mm.
That's what we need to focus on.
That's it.
Take our eyes off the snake bites and put them on Christ.
And what was the other thing that we learned? I am not my sin.
Yes.
So, yes, you have a tendency to err, to struggle, to go off the path sometimes, but you are not your sin. Your sin has been laid upon the person of Christ. Mm. He who knew no sin became sin for all of us, that we might become the righteousness of God. We are hid with Christ in God. So yes, the tendency that we have to sin is dealt with at the cross. Look upon him. Mm. Well, friends, that's the Grace Hour show for this day. We want to thank you for being a part of our podcast. Please subscribe. You can do that at several platforms, YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify, other places. We do have a podcast website, gracehour.org. And we'd love for you to subscribe and be a part of the regular edification and instruction that we provide in our discussions here at the Grace Hour Show. So for Pastor Sturge Gorham, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis, and for our engineer, Jehu, we want to thank you for being a part of the Grace Hour podcast today. Join us again, please.